You're listening to the Fade to Gray Network.
Hello, Fade to Gray listeners. This is Seth, and I'm coming in today with another installment of Mental. For a long time, purity culture has wrecked our country, has wrecked our society, and it has been a framework of Christianity for quite a while. And for those of us who lived through it, we have some stories to tell. And so today I'm bringing my friend Elizabeth, another cast member of the Fade to Gray crew,
yes,
to talk about her experience with purity culture. I may, pipe in from time to time with a thought or an idea of my own experience, but I primarily want this to be from Elizabeth's story. So to get this started, Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about purity culture from your perspective.
Okay, so I wouldn't call myself an expert. I would call myself one who grew up in the culture and so have an insider's view of how it was presented and how some of us took it. So I grew up in the late 90s and my high school years were 97. I graduated in 2001. So that was high school for me. Yes, I'm older than you, Seth.
You would never know.
Never know. Okay, well. So I was right in the time when Focus on the Family and some others were doing the True Love Waits campaign, where they would have gatherings in great big buildings and like arenas and stuff like that, where they would teach abstinence for sex education. And it went beyond the church because it was I can't remember which president it was at that point, or vice president, or somebody in the government was trying to teach abstinence as well in the school systems for sex ed as well. And it was just something that the powers that be, I guess, just thought it was a really great thing that kids should be taught to abstain rather than any type of any sexual anything. Mm-hmm. The way I interpreted it in church was it sex was a whole shame thing unless it was in the context of marriage. So when I would sit in youth group and our youth pastor was teaching us about staying pure, his approach to it was always explaining that men are visual creatures, and what that means is anytime they look at a woman who is scantily clad, all they think of is having sex with her. And so he was constantly telling us girls that we were responsible for our brothers in Christ and their thought life, and that we were responsible for how we dressed. And if we dressed wrong, then we would be causing men to stumble, causing our brothers to stumble, whatever that meant. We never were told what that meant as girls, but all the guys just nodded their heads like, oh, yeah, we understand what that means. I have a very vivid memory of standing up in youth group once when I was in 10th grade, and I only know it was in 10th grade because my friend Rich was there, and Rich was 2 years older than me. We were really good buddies, and I was like, I don't understand, like, why you keep telling us this. I come in every day in an extra large men's hoodie and oversized jeans, because again, remember, this is late 90s, so, you know, was it Junko jeans were like really popular. I could never afford Junko jeans, so I just went to buy like oversized men's cargo pants, and that was my thing, like all through high school. Because if they were too tight, I didn't want to cause my brother to stumble. So, you know, women's jeans were out. So I'm like, this is how I come, and you're telling me that I'm causing men to stumble, and I don't know how else to cover myself up without throwing a blanket over my head. And he did me absolutely no favors by telling Rich to stand up. So Rich stands up and he goes, Rich, did you notice Elizabeth walking in the room when she came in to youth group? And he's like, well, yeah. So he goes, there you go, Elizabeth. Guys, it doesn't matter what you wear. Guys are going to notice you anyway. And I'm like, then why are you telling me to watch what I wear? I don't understand. So, like, fuck him, first of all. And then, so anyway, so that was my high school experience with purity culture, was being told often that I was responsible for how men thought by, and I was responsible by how I dressed.
And I'm sure they tied in a specific link to scripture on that, right? Like, don't cause your brother to stumble.
It would have been that scripture, if any.
You were able to tie in the religious component.
Yes.
Which therefore it sends not only a message about who you are, but how you fit into the world.
Yes.
And that it is your responsibility to be a good, godly woman.
Yep.
That you dress a certain way and that you don't cause or attention to yourself.
Right. Yeah. My experience in high school was just that. And from what I understand, it was fairly typical for a lot of people who went to more conservative churches. I did not come from a fundamentalist background. But after I graduated from high school and I moved out to New Mexico, I started getting into fundamentalist circles. And that's where I saw and was exposed to a whole new wave of purity culture, which was even more extreme than what I had been through.
Talking about purity culture from a man's perspective is interesting.
Yes.
Because a lot of purity culture is from the perspective of the damage that it's caused to women.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also very true that it's caused damage to men as well. Specifically
I would
agree. Gay men. But I wanted to give you the go ahead first.
Yeah.
Because in order to talk about it from my perspective, I want the woman's story told first.
So sure.
You were talking about up through high school.
Yes. My high school experience in church was a little bit different than some people who grew up in purity culture, because it was not discouraged in my circle of friends for guys and girls to separate. We were allowed to hang out together. It was the dating and anything beyond just being friends that was really looked down on. And we were constantly told that we had to watch out what we wore. But when I graduated from high school, I moved away from home, moved to New Mexico, and worked there for 3 years. And one of the churches that I tried to be part of, and I say tried because it just didn't work because of this reason, they were a more fundamentalist church, and they had a more fundamentalist view of guy-girl relationships. It was odd because they had quite a large group of 20-year-olds, like, you know, that odd age between post-high school and not yet married. They had a fairly large group in their church. And so that group would get together for a weekly Bible study. And the leaders of that Bible study were a married couple that were just 10 years older than us. And I loved them. This couple, like, became like my big brother and big sister. I can't call them mom and dad because they were just a little bit too young for me to do that. But I mean, we hung out all the time. Like, I would watch their kids. They would let me stay at their house if I needed to. Like, I just loved them to death. So I went to that church for that 20 something youth group type thing. But the last time that I would go there, and I thought a couple of the guys were really cute, and I was like kind of waiting for them to ask me out, but like nothing. Like, I started wondering if they were all gay, to be quite honest. Like, no offense.
Oh my.
No offense. I'm like, I actually, one of them has come out of the closet since then. So I was right about him. And that's a whole nother story. Yeah, I need to talk to you because I think it was funny. We're not putting this on air. yeah, but I seriously wondered, because I would like, the one guy, especially, like, we would talk for a while and he would come hang out with me now and then, but he never asked me out. And I was like, am I supposed to ask you out, or how is this supposed to work? And like, I'm not in high school anymore, so like, I'm allowed to date was my thought process was, now I'm not in high school, so now I'm allowed to date. But their idea of purity culture was not that at all. And so the last Bible study I went to, they sat down with me and basically they taught me their idea of what relationships prior to marriage was supposed to look like, and it drove me away from the church. And basically, they told me guys and girls are not allowed to hang out together. They're not allowed to be in any situation unless they are in a big group setting, like the Bible study. They shouldn't be calling each other on the phone. They shouldn't be having any one-on-one time whatsoever. And being best friends with somebody of the opposite gender was absolutely not allowed until you got married.
See, that's just taking it to an extreme.
Yeah.
How is one supposed to function? How are these kids supposed to function in society, in public schools, and in the classroom, and in sports, and in all these different things, if they are ostracized to this degree? It does not work.
It doesn't work.
It's not practical.
Right. Well, and the other thing is that they were teaching us this when we were in our 20s.
What?
Yeah. This is post-high school at this point. These guys were 20, let me see, 21, 20, I could drink at that point. So 21, 22, 23, 24, that era. That's when they were teaching us this.
These kids, they're not kids. These adults are very sheltered.
Yeah.
Very sheltered. It almost sounds as if the church was operating as the parents.
In
an abusive relationship.
Yeah. So I thought this was the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. I'm like, well, then, and I flat out asked them. They asked me, no, first I asked the question, well, then how am I supposed to get married to anybody? Because I thought I was supposed to marry my best friend. I had been told that. My parents told me that. Like, my parents taught me, if you're going to get married, you're going to marry your best friend. Marry somebody that you're friends with is what they would tell me all growing up. And so for me, I'm like, how can I be friends with any of you if I'm not allowed to hang out with you? And they just laughed at me. They're like, you can't. You can't be friends with us because you're a girl until after you get married. And I'm like, fuck that. Like, that doesn't make a lick of sense to me at all. It doesn't make a blessed lick of sense. So then I met Omar. I had met Omar at this point. We already knew each other. And it was during this time that he called me and we started our relationship over the phone. You know, you've heard our story. Go find it if you haven't heard it. And we started our relationship. I was like, okay, well, here's a guy who's not afraid to talk to me. So obviously, I'm going to at least try to date him. And we ended up getting married and all's well that ends well, I guess. But when I moved up to Alaska, and actually even when we were dating and engaged, he was trying to explain to me the purity culture that they had in the church system there that he worked with and that we ended up working with together. And it was very, very, very similar to this, what these people in New Mexico were telling us as well, where the guys sat with the guys, the girls sat with the girls. If any guy was talking to a girl beyond work-related stuff, they were supposed to have like other people around them. They couldn't be one-on-one with each other. Like, dating was out of the question. This one couple that was like the poster child for how they're supposed to do relationships, they had worked together on staff at the church for like 5 or 6 years together and had never once been on a date, had never once held hands and never kissed at all, had never really had any conversations beyond work-related things. And he asked her to marry him. And she said yes. And that was the first time they side hugged. Like, ridiculous shit like that. Like I don't. Yeah, it was really weird. And I talked to a couple once in that environment. They had grown up through that. And their first kiss was on their wedding day. And they couldn't have sex on their wedding night because she was so freaked out. I'm like, I don't blame you. Like, that whole thing, like... Right. Anyway, so at that point, though, I was married. But either way, I was just always really careful. And it wasn't until I moved here, when we moved back here, when I moved back and I moved my family with me, that I really started relaxing in that. And the whole situation was really interesting because I went from having a lot of guy friends in high school and I never dated them. Some of them asked me out. Some of them asked me just to homecoming dance, and I said no. And I still, like, my biggest regret from high school is saying no to Nate Weaver. Like, that's so stupid. He wasn't pursuing me. He just wanted to take me to a dance. Like, what's so wrong about that? I'm like, hey, I'm an idiot. But, like, I went from having guy friends to, like, going to New Mexico and Alaska where I wasn't allowed to talk to guys at all except for Omar, or it would be looked down on or whatever. And so I got good at, like, putting myself out there with girls, but I had never been really great with talking to girls. Like, I'd always had guy friends. It was just always how it was. To now, I'm here in Western Pennsylvania with tiny little kids, and I don't know who I'm supposed to go hang out with. Like, legit, like, for years, didn't know who I was supposed to hang out with. And now it's just, like, coworkers and my guy friends on podcasts.
Well, we're a pretty cool group, I would hope.
Yes, we are. Cheers.
Purity culture for me was interesting in the fact that the whole idea was to not masturbate, to not look at porn, to not take these steps, right? And I experienced that a lot, especially like growing up in the church. I used to host Bible studies where we would all talk about those types of things and not engaging in that. But it also by discouraging masturbation and these types of things, it was memorializing a person that's like super pure and 100% on fight for God and all of these different components, which I really, really, really wanted to be. Mm. But the problem was, is when you're gay, it doesn't really work. This is hard to describe. I always find talking about purity culture difficult. Mm. Because it's so subliminal and so ingrained into the way that we respond to everyday situations in life. I just find it complicated.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. I've been dissecting this for the last year now. After working on staff with a marriage podcast with a team of mixed genders, and having to talk about marriage issues, not necessarily our own, but other people's, and then having to communicate. It's interesting. I don't know. It's just, yeah, because I mean, like, at one point, I was in a meeting with the marriage podcast, and we had two guys at the time, and I think there were three girls in that meeting particular. At one point, we had like five girls, or ladies, whatever. And the one guy whose podcast it was asking his staff, like, how are you? And he wanted, like, a real answer. It wasn't just, oh, I'm great. Like, he wanted a real answer. And I wasn't sure if I should be sharing because, well, you're a guy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I should really be sharing with you. Like, I'm going through a dark time right now. And I shared a tiny bit, but not very much. And the next day, we were all on Marco Polo together, just kind of shooting the shit. And I was like, you guys, I wasn't sure what to answer because of the guy-girl situation. And it turned into this, like, confession time, I guess, where both guys and girls were like, we want to be able to share without the expectation that we're going to leave our spouse. Like, we're not going to. We love our spouse, but we've become close with these other people. And because of that, like, we want to be able to share just, hey, I'm having a shit day. Why does it have to be? And, like, we all felt a lot of shame in trying to open up to each other because you're not supposed to open up to anybody unless it's same gender or your spouse. And we weren't sharing anything that our spouses would have cared about. It was like our own mental health shit. Like,
it sounds like an abusive environment and situation.
Yeah.
That probably has affected you to this day. I would imagine.
Yeah, it has. I still, like, even with the Fade casters, like, those of us who are on the cast of Fade to Gray, we have our own little Marco Polo group. And there are days when I want to share with you guys what's going on. And I'm like, I don't know if I should. And it's not, I mean, no one is stopping me but me, like, really and truly. Like, Omar doesn't care. I mean, he cares about me. That's not what I mean. I mean that, like, he wouldn't care if I shared with you guys things that I'm struggling with. He'd probably appreciate it. I'm like, but they're men, so I can't share with them. Like, that's stupid. And even, like, when we went to Dallas, like, we all got together in Dallas in February, and you guys were all talking about, oh, I'm going to hug this guy first, and I'm going to hug that guy first. And I'm like, who am I going to hug? And, like, I didn't list any of you first, and you were all the first people that I hugged. Like, I was trying to think of the girls I was going to give hugs to, and then I'm like, wait a minute, why can't I give Andy a hug? Why can't I give Seth a hug? Why not? Like, mm-hmm. It was stupid. Like, it's just, like, ingrained in me. Don't give guys hugs, because then you'll cause them to stumble. And clearly I made you all stumble because I gave you all hugs. Like,
well, don't worry. You can't make me stumble.
That's why gay men are safe for me.
All is well. So, but it's interesting, though, because as we talk about stumble, mm-hmm. right? Are we in a situation right now where we're concerned whether we stumble or not?
You and me?
Mm-hmm. Personally.
I don't know.
Like right now. Like. I mean, I'm not even in the game anymore. It's like, you know, I used to be in the game and care about that crap and try to live to this, like, you know, religious, godly statue, you know, example. And I believe in God, but I don't adhere to that so much anymore. I'm kind of out of the game. Mm-hmm. So it's like causing someone to stumble. I mean, it's like, well, they're an adult that can make their own decisions.
I still feel like that,
situation.
I still feel like that verse is taken out of context, but I'm not even sure that I understand its original context. Like, I need to go back and read it. It's been so long, but, like, I don't see anywhere in life where I'm responsible for other people's actions. Like, I can be responsible for hurting people, but at the same time, like, I could say something and you can choose to be hurt by something. Like, Omar's constantly telling me that, like I'm just choosing to be angry about various things, or I'm choosing to see things this way when maybe my perspective isn't right. Maybe his perspective's right. And I'm just choosing to say, well, I don't really care what your perspective is. I'm going to see it my way, and my way's right and yours is wrong. And so, like, causing people to stumble, I wonder if we just have that whole concept messed up. Because, well, like, that was the thing. Like, my youth pastor in high school, like, that was the whole point that I was trying to make, was I am not responsible for these guys' brains. Like, I wore a fucking extra large men's hoodie and men's cargo pants, and that was still not covered up enough. I mean, we're talking, like, in the summer. I mean, mm-hmm. dumb shit. Like, I had no sense of style because I was trying to cover up.
What steps have you taken now that you are out of that environment and that we've stepped away from this and we're able to look back objectively, or, you know, probably a little subjectively, but able to look back at our situation and analyze, what steps have you taken to move past the damage done to your life by purity culture?
Tried to get back to being friends with guys. Like, why the fuck are we so scared of being friends with guys who aren't our husbands? Like, or, I mean, like, yeah. And that's the main thing. And then as far as, like, dress, I make sure that I wear clothes that actually fit me. And, like, to a point, I do know that men are very visual, because I have literally chased women down in Walmart with my husband to see the most perfect ass we've ever seen. Because
yes, I remember this story.
She was wearing a fantastic pair of leggings. I'm not oblivious to the fact that what I wear can attract men's eyes. But at the same time, so I don't want to like go extreme and flaunt, but I also don't want to be wearing extra large men's hoodies and men's cargo pants anymore. So I'm a little bit more liberal with what I wear. Yeah, I would say not to the extreme that I've seen some of my girlfriends go, but it is what it is.
Well, I think you've taken steps, and that's the most important thing. Right?
Yes.
That not only do we look and see the damage that was done and see how it's affected our lives, but that we see that and we take a next step.
Yeah.
Take a step forward towards recovery.
Yeah.
And being able to look past it. And I think in large respect, you hang out in the Fadecasters. That's it. You can't be any more, I don't know what the adjective is of our group, but I mean, you're in there. So
I am.
I think you're doing well.
Yeah. It takes a certain kind of woman to pull that off.
Maybe a few drinks.
A few drinks. And sometimes an eye roll and a finger or two.
Yeah. I have become prone to the finger. Didn't think that would happen in my life, but it has. That's okay. You gotta love the boys.
I think a finger from Elizabeth is the true sign of I love you. So just look at it that way.
There you go.
So my story is just one. And I know I've talked, well, like I was telling you, I worked with the marriage podcast, and specifically my friend Lauren and Kenan have talked about their experience with purity culture, and it's different than mine in some ways, but the same in others. And so you may hear some things that you recognize as, oh yeah, I remember that, or that happened to me. And other times you may look at it going, holy shit, what did she just say? But ultimately, I think this was a movement that was originally intended to be something of a good idea to help protect us as children. But in retrospect, maybe it wasn't the best idea. And so trying to move forward from here, like I'm looking at it now as a mother going into raising children through puberty and trying to figure out what the hell I'm going to tell my kids now. And that has been pretty interesting, kind of walking through that. Currently with our oldest daughter, we've had to give her the birds and the bees talk, and we're very frank with her about what sex is and just how to treat her body with respect. That's been the biggest thing for us, and trying to balance modesty without trying to make it you have to wear extra large hoodies and men's pants in order to be modest, but trying to show your self-respect while you are growing up and becoming a woman. That to me is another reason why kind of processing this purity culture thing has just been so important for me of late, because I'm having to now walk through it all over again with four little kids who are not so little anymore. So thank you for joining us on this edition of Mental.
I appreciate it. I want to thank you for listening to yet another episode of Mental on the Fade to Gray Network. Further, I just want to say a big shout out and thank you to Elizabeth for sharing her story around the issue of purity culture. And there's a lot to be said in the effect that it's still having on people today. So I really appreciated her vulnerability in sharing that with us. If you enjoyed this episode or would like to talk to us, please feel free to join us on Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you can be added into our Marco Polo community and chat with us live anytime you would desire. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, or our website, fadetograypodcast.com. Thank you for checking us out. Until next time, this is Seth signing out.
He's not just gay, he's mental.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.